This is Coach Lee, and you're listening to The Door Report.
At Vanderbilt, it's Tim Corbin and the Vandy Boys, Jerry Stackhouse on the hardwood, and Clark Lee on the gridiron. Nashville, it's time to sit back, relax, grab a cold one, and enjoy the show. The Music City is our state, and West End is where we rock. You're listening to The Door Report, the premier Vanderbilt podcast for fans who bleed black and gold. Commodore Nation, anchor down.
Welcome into The Door Report. It is episode 203. We're recording on a Thursday night, February the 2nd, 2023. We are powered by Alaco Finewood Floors. Family owned and operated for more than two decades, Alaco Finewood Floors is Nashville and Middle Tennessee's choice for premium quality hardwood floors. Since 1995, Jimmy Alaco and his army of employees have embodied the approach of taking pride in one's craft and providing superior customer service, growing from a one-man shop to a team of 23 professionals who share the founder's passion for quality craftsmanship and customer satisfaction. If you're interested in contacting them, you can find their headquarters at 2505 Winford Avenue out in Berry Hill, or give them a call at 615-356-0303, or look them up on the web at alacofinewoodfloors.com. Also, got a couple more sponsors to introduce. We introduced Primus Bank last episode, but then again, Primus Bank, Kennedy Mathis, loan officer, NMLS number 2179364. Kennedy has a passion for assisting families in realizing their dreams of home ownership. Contact Kennedy at 931-224-7684 or email him at kennedy.mathis@primusbank.com. You can apply for a mortgage at primusbank.com. Primus Mortgage has a solution for you. Cash out, refinance, first-time home buyer, rental properties, USDA loan, VA loan, and much more. Apply online today, again, at primusbank.com or call 931-224-7687. Another commercial to get to, Will Byram, with Pickett. Will, take it away.
We might have to start breaking these up, Billy. We might have to start having some sponsored segments here and get a little creative, but I'm super excited to announce that we are also partnering with Pickett. I missed last episode due to sickness, but thankfully I am back, so I missed the introduction of Primus Bank as our second sponsor, but our third sponsor now is Pickett, and this is an app that I personally use. All of your bets and friends in one place. Automatically sync all of your favorite sports books, shop lines, track performances, and explore bets across your community, all on the Pickett app. With Pickett, you can see all of your sports betting accounts in one place to track your past performance and see upcoming bets. Compare your statistics from week to week and month to month at the click of a button. Engage with your community by seeing what others are betting on and interacting with their activities. And I can tell you, as somebody that gambles, probably a little bit too much, there are two main apps in this space of syncing up your bets across sportsbooks: Pickett and Action Pro Sports Network. I have used both, and there is absolutely no contest that Pickett is the better app.
Boom.
Use the code TDR at sign up, just three letters, TDR, not case sensitive, sync one sportsbook, and you will receive either $3 or $100 directly Venmo'd to you. That's all yours to keep in cash. It's real. As a user, so use the code TDR at sign up. That is Pickett, spelled P-I-K-K-I-T. And thanks, Pickett, for signing up with TDR. So, Billy, how was that as a first read?
That was phenomenal.
That was beautiful.
Phenomenal. I'll give you an A-plus on that, Will. It was a great read. I'm going to need some refreshing on that. It's going to take me probably a couple weeks to fully understand that whole process. Will, you're the guy, though. You're the guy to do that. And Pickett is the place to be for all your bets and friends in one place. So, yeah, we're gonna spread these out, guys. We won't make it too too filled.
Yeah,
with,
and if you want any more information on Pickett, I'll add it in underneath with a link to that sign up information as well. So you don't have to listen back or anything, we'll make it real easy on you.
There you go. So guys, on a, that was a great way to start the episode, but it's not going to be positive like a Picket sponsorship is, or you
it's
know,
all Primus, downhill from here, boys.
All downhill from here.
Yeah, Primus Bank, the Kennedy Mathis, who's doing a great job writing for us in a tumultuous time for Vanderbilt basketball. But it's, he's been great. He had a recap for the Alabama loss, and we'll do our best to give a recap of that game. Thrilling.
Brother's
thrilling
got the short end of the stick writing about the Jerry, this portion of the Jerry Stackhouse.
You know,
era.
The thing is about that.
That came in at a wrong time.
He came in, though, and they had, I think they had just beaten Arkansas. And, you know, they had beaten Georgia. So, you know, we felt like the way we've talked about this team has changed so drastically from 2.5, 3 weeks ago, guys. I mean, it is ridiculous. So we'll recap Alabama. We'll get into Stackhouse's recent comments, not just after the game with the Hibachi Steakhouse comment, but also some of the comments today in his media availability, which I was surprised he even had one this soon. I guess you have to on a Thursday, you know, a couple of days before another SEC game. And towards the end, we'll get into our kind of sort of top three candidates to replace Coach Stackhouse. And, you know, in whatever order, that'll be a lot of Trevor and I. Will is going to take some more time to study those, probably deservedly so. But I think it's time to sort of start that process. This isn't going to be anything official. Our list may change down the road. But, guys, I don't even really know what to say about that game. It was almost – it got kind of comical. Like, it was one of those games where, you know, you start off okay. It's like, okay, Vanderbilt, you know, they may be able to hang in there. And then Alabama, I think, was up 24-5 or something like that after the second media timeout. And the starting lineup, after I saw the starting lineup, I knew something was up, guys. I mean, something is seriously wrong within this locker room and with this program. Maybe a lot of things. So, sort of initial thoughts, guys. Will, take it away.
There are so many thoughts, Billy. So many thoughts. And I want to talk about the actual game and what we saw before I get into my inevitable rant about what Jerry Stackhouse has said after the game. And as bad as the post-game presser was, his presser today and his media availability today was worse than anything. It's amazing that there was a lower depth to go to of seeing a coach just have a complete mental breakdown of idiocy. But the game was very, 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 very bad. And it's hard to not connect the comments that Stack made, but guys did just miss shots. I mean, Liam came in. He was clearly, as Stack said, just rusty and missed some easy looks. But the offensive side of the ball does not excuse giving up 101 points. And there's a certain level of just taking pride in the letters on the front of your uniform that you would think a team would have, especially laden with experienced players. And clearly, Stack has lost this team. You could see it on the bench. You could see it in the body language. You could see it on the court. None of these guys want to play for him. None of these guys have a love for the game anymore. And you can say they're playing hard, but I know, Trevor, that you might mention this quote. Maybe they were just playing in fear, because certainly these Jesus guys Christ. Seem to be playing in a way that is not free-flowing for a love of the game. And that can be seen very clearly in a final score of 101-44. Trevor, on to
you. So you're telling me that these guys aren't playing out of love for their benevolent dictator that they have?
Benevolent dictator.
Their czar that they have coaching them X's and O's. I mean, yeah, this is – I mean, I've been watching – I'm 25. My very first Vanderbilt basketball game I ever remember was in, like, 2005, 2006, and this is by far and away the worst loss that I've ever experienced. I mean, on all accounts, it was bad. I know we'll get into the starting lineup, but I know Jerry Stackhouse gave a reason for the starting lineup. It was an awful one. I don't care. I'm to the point – I tweeted this before the Alabama game, and I hate to be this way. I really do. But I'm to my breaking point to where – And I still watch the Alabama game in its entirety. I'm to my breaking point now to where I hope Vanderbilt gets run out of the gym every single game, because I think that's what it's going to have to take to get Jerry Stackhouse out. I know that Candace has made progress. I know that Dearmeyer has made progress, but my roommate's an Alabama fan. We watched the game together. I was talking to him about it, and I said, there is still just like a little bit in the back of my mind to where, even though we've seen so much progress as a Vanderbilt fan, you're always like, they're going to mess this up somehow. I feel like we talk about it on every segment. And I think that if they can somehow, I hate to even say salvage the season, but if there's like a way that they get better and it's not as bad as we think it'll be, Jerry Stackhouse is going to keep his job, guys. I have that bad feeling. And the only way that he gets out of Nashville is if we see performances like this night after night after night. And I'm to that point to where I just hope it happens. Vanderbilt basketball is dead. The Bryce Drew era was bad. We're obviously not going like winless in SEC play, but it still sucks. Vanderbilt basketball is very bad. And it's just, I don't even know what to say. It makes me depressed. It makes me really depressed.
It's the Mason era all over again. That's what it is.
It really is. Derek Mason in basketball.
Mason was at Vandy for 7 years and probably two or three years too long, probably two. And those last 2 years did enough damage. We saw the damage it did. I mean, I don't know we can blame whoever we want for that. Obviously, that's on the athletic department and the administration for allowing that to happen. This is gut check time for Candace Lee. I mean, that's what it is. This is gut check time because, number one, you signed him to an extension before this season. And I know we talked about that. I don't think that's a problem. Like, I don't think that's we signed him to an extension. That's holding us back. I don't think that's what might be holding them back. But, Trevor, what you mentioned, you know, I think it has to get worse for them to pull the plug.
I really do.
He sounded so confident in that press conference. The way he was speaking, the comments he made, which we will get to later on. I mean, it didn't sound like a guy that was feeling the heat from the hot seat. It sounded like a guy that maybe felt like it was starting to get a bit warm. But either his tone was somebody that just doesn't give a shit, or he has a sense of confidence in his job security right now.
And guys, I don't know about y'all, but I felt really like deep down bad for the players during that game. Like I really did, because you got some really good kids on that team that, you know, I'm not going to say we have relationships with or anything like that, but you feel bad for them. There's some young kids on the team that were looking forward to a fun college experience, a nice start to their collegiate basketball career. And this might really damage it for some guys. That's what I thought about. And we'll get into more of that, guys. We'll get into how this affects the players, how this affects Vandy fans, because I tweeted about apathy last night. There was definitely some apathy up until last night, up until two nights ago. I think Vandy fans, you saw people come out of the woodshed that we haven't really seen in a while come out. So we'll talk a lot about that. Guys, the starters, we'll get into the starting lineup. But first, before we get to that, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @door_report and Instagram @door.report. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Our podcast is available on Anchor, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And while you're at it, give our podcast 5 stars and a review on iTunes. All right, let's talk the state of Vanderbilt men's basketball.
No matter what style you're going for, you can trust your flooring job to Elanco Fine Wood Floors. Take a walk through the woods in your home every day. Get your flooring job started today by calling 615-356-0303. Elanco Fine Wood Floors. Craftsmanship you can stand on.
Dead. All right, guys. Let's get to it. Trevor just said dead. Right. I think you're right, Trevor, to an extent. Like I let's talk about this, because Vanderbilt football that last year Mason wasn't just dead. I mean, it was like buried 6 feet deep. Like that's how bad it was.
It was decomposing.
At this point for this basketball program, guys, it's I don't know if you could say dead or whatever you want to say. I think it's survivable. The season might be survivable for Stackhouse. I mean, we just talked about it. You know, you've got an Ole Miss team coming up that's really bad, coached by a guy in Kermit Davis who is likely to be fired after this season too. So this is going on at other SEC schools, but at Vanderbilt, guys, it hasn't gotten better. I think that's the biggest thing. Like we were talking about this season as another step forward, not a big step, but be on the bubble, be on the bubble. Obviously Liam gets hurt, so that puts a wrench in things. But Will, before the season, we were optimistic. I mean, we really were. So how much has that changed for you? You know, because it's changed a lot for me. And obviously, down the stretch of this season, there's a lot of basketball to be played. I'll say that. I mean, Trevor, you talked about it. There's a lot of basketball to be played, but how deep has it fallen, Will?
The schedule gets easier, so they're probably going to win a few of these games. So I just want to get that out there before I discuss any of this. But we talked about it leading up to the season, that this was the first year that we were going to judge Jerry Stackhouse on wins and losses. And he had a roster that had talent, theoretically, and everything had kind of gone the way he had planned to get his roster there and get his guys there with experience, have exciting freshmen coming in Colin Smith, Noah Shelby, and Lee Dort. And it's been a massive disappointment. I mean, it's just been the overall chemistry, how this team has looked. But I was actually willing to come on here and kind of take the controversial stance prior to the Alabama performance that, hey, I'm not defending Jerry Stackhouse and saying he is the guy. I've been very vocal about my issues with his offensive scheme, but he had his best player get injured, and that completely hampers anything that you want to do on the offensive or defensive end. And then his backup gets injured as well. So now you go from the entire strength of your team is in your size and post play and depth, to now that is your biggest weakness, like that in a snap. Mm-hmm. So I was actually willing to come on here and, you know, cut him some slack and say, hey, look, it's not the record's not great, but they're coming out there. They're putting up decent performances. I wouldn't say even good, but decent performances. And given the circumstances, I'm not saying it's acceptable, but let's wait and see.
You were still towing
this performance. This performance against Alabama reminded me of the Derek Mason Missouri game. It reminded me of a level of lack of talent, lack of preparedness, and lack of care on the sideline. And that's really what is really
that's the biggest thing right there, Will. That's the final sign of a coach. Because sorry to cut you off, I'll get back to you, but I mean, you look at him on the sideline, guys, during that Alabama game. And he didn't get up. He didn't get up. He didn't call a timeout. I mean, he called – how many – did he call a timeout the entire game?
No, that was going to be my next part of this.
What is that?
He called zero timeouts. And a lot of this coincides with some of the things he said in his presser today.
I was about to say, yes.
Yeah, and
are you ready to get to those?
I'm ready to get to some of these quotes. Yeah, I'm ready to get to some of these quotes because a lot of the things we've touched on have been addressed. And as to why – My opinion of Jerry Stackhouse is just I'm done with him. It's over. It doesn't matter. He's lost me. He's lost this team. He's lost Noah Shelby. He's probably gone after this year. He's lost Tyron Lawrence. He's lost everyone.
A lot of guys, yeah. So,
I will say before we get to the comments, that's losing the team. I have seen a little bit of pushback of guys being like, oh, well, if he leaves, you're going to lose the freshman. Guys, I hate to be this guy. They're gone. They're gone regardless.
I think you have a better chance of keeping them if he is fired.
Right, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Like, I hate to be that guy. If this keeps going, and I would love for him to stay because I think he's really talented, Noah Shelby's gone. Let's just call a spade a spade. Yeah, like they're gone regardless. So you might as well kick him to the curb and just let's freaking rebuild for, I feel like, the fourth time in 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, let's just do it over again.
And I know we're going to get to those comments. Well, one more thing after the game, I mean, the majority of Vanderbilt fans were irate It was fire stack. There was all of that. But you did see sort of, 4 or 5% of people saying, and it was honestly funny seeing some of these comments, like, I'll still be at Memorial Gym supporting this program Saturday. Okay, good for you. But I saw a little bit of, guys, it's one game. I don't want to hear any of that one game crap.
Yeah.
It's not one game.
Yeah, it's one game. You lost by 57 points.
But it's not one game. It's like, that's like saying a 55-year-old morbidly obese man that has a heart attack, it's his heart's fault. No, there's been a lot of things that have happened that have led up to this catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And then just to drop an atom bomb on the hospital that the morbidly obese 55-year-old is in, recovering from his heart attack, is Jerry Stackhouse's comments in the press. And those can only be made by a fucking moron or a man that just wants to lose his job and be fired and take his guaranteed money or whatever that he got in his extension.
Because coach who like I'll let you, because I think we're on the same point. Jerry, like someone like Dean Smith, like your coach, he could have made these comments because he was a winner.
You earn the right to make probably make these comments like this.
Stackhouse hasn't earned anything.
Like, look at someone like Jim Boeheim right now, who is 10 times the coach Jerry Stackhouse will ever be. Jim Boeheim is not winning right now and continues to make dumb comments, and people are crucifying this man at, like, they're burning him at the stake. And that's Jim Boeheim. You are not him.
As a coach, especially in the SEC, you should never use the media to make those sort of statements where, it's almost like Stackhouse separates, okay, there's locker room talk. Here's what I'm going to tell my players. Here's what I'm going to tell the media. And I feel like that's totally different. I feel like he puts on this facade to the media saying the administration is in support of me. But meanwhile, in the locker room, who the hell knows what's going on? It would be only God knows what's being said in that locker room. I mean, guys, we haven't even talked about Tyron Lawrence didn't play at all. He was reportedly laughing in practice.
I say we go through these quotes one at a time, and then we can all raise our comments that I've written down. So let's do that. I'll start going, and I kind of have them in chronological order.
Here's
from
what
his
we'll do.
15. Yeah,
you've got a lot. You got a bunch of quotes. Well, here's what we'll do. You will read a quote. We will react, and we'll move on from quote to quote. So start with your first.
I like that. So these will be in contextual order. So we will basically be reacting to Jerry Stackhouse's 15-minute presser today. His media availability. It's available on YouTube. If anybody wants to go check it out, I watched it 3 times just to get myself infuriated and ready to ride. For this segment of episode 203 of TDR. But just to start out, the first quote that just ticked me off, and this isn't even really one that needs a comment, but it's just the first few words that came out of his mouth about the game were, it was good getting Liam out there. He was rusty, had a bunch of makeable opportunities that would have kept the game in a competitive balance. Would it have? Yeah, he missed like 5 shots, 10 points. Maybe
in the first 10 minutes it would have been competitive. Maybe.
Yeah.
Liam missed some shots. Some guys missed some shots. That's not why you lost by 57. That's simply not. But then after some more comments, first 3.5 minutes, he was kind of asked, how do you assure fans that you are still on the right track? Basically, was the question that was asked.
Big answer here.
Stackhouse responded, you just have to watch the game. The good looks, the makeable looks we got. We did have some turnovers, but we did have some looks. Main shooter was 1 for 7 and another 1 for 11. They were all makeable shots. Then
the fact
he was
that he
immediately
says,
asked, but this is a related quote. He was immediately asked a follow-up. So who are you guys in your mind? What's your identity? He immediately responded after answering that previous question for about a minute and a half. He said, we are a defensive team.
Jesus Christ.
After he did not make one comment about defense as to what happened, you gave up 101 points and your explanation for why you lost was all in reference to having open looks on the offensive end of the court and missing them. And then you said you're a defensive team.
You gave up 101 points. I don't know many good defensive fucking teams that give up triple digits in college basketball. Speaking of Jim Boeheim, how many of those legendary zone defensive teams for Syracuse gave up triple digit points? I would bet quite a bit of money that was zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
He also,
I will guarantee you, great defensive teams do not give up over 100 points in college basketball unless there is an extra period after the end of regulation.
Before the season, he also called this team young. Like, quote, we're a young team. Jerry, this is the most upperclassmen you've had. You have more upperclassmen than underclassmen. Like, he tries to put an identity on his team that might save him from the media. Like, we're a defensive team. Well, that one didn't work. You just gave up 101 points. We're a young team. No, you're not, Jerry. You're not a young team. So, I think a lot of this is to the media. He thinks he can make a difference. He was like, okay, this is where I'm going to make a difference with the fans. Right here, right now. Let's go. I'm going to convince the fans that we're back. Vandy basketball is back. And he's making it worse. That's what's happening. That there's no helping this situation right now. Honestly, I wish they didn't send him out to the media yesterday. I honestly, like, that's where I am with this. So, well, let's get to the next one, though.
Yeah, we could talk about that one for quite a bit of
time.
Then it was kind of back and forth. So this right here is some of the, like, Vanderbilt media. Like, there were plenty of things that he said in that first 5 minutes to be dug into.
Yeah,
that were just
also
lies and wrong.
Real quick, I'll
questions
say this about,
were not good.
I'll say this about Vanderbilt media, though. I like guys like Bryce Smith, Joey Dwyer on Twitter. They have been good with the quotes in providing us. Like, if we, you know, because honestly, there's not really people that want to cover this team. You know, that, like, the local
give me
media,
a press pass.
Yeah,
you know, obviously we do, but from a sort of a different perspective. But what I'm trying to say is the local media isn't even all over this team, and, you know, for good reason. I think they've done a decent job, but continue, Will.
I think that's what I'm getting at. I'm not trying to shit on the local media. That's not what I mean, because it is local media. But I just want to preface these quotes that we are reading by saying these are not difficult questions he's being asked. These are not questions that are pinning him into the corner.
And he,
these
a
are
lot of times he doesn't even
way
softballs.
Yeah, these are softballs. These should be knocked out of the park. Any person working in a professional business environment, if they answered a simple question as idiotically as this, their boss would shred them in a meeting.
And this is Matt.
It's
is
amazing
man
how
years of media training.
Dude, he
like get media training when he was
a 17-year NBA career. Yeah.
He got media training when he was at the NBA. He got media training whenever he was a coach, wherever the hell he was. And he got media training at Vanderbilt. That's like, it's asinine to the fan base.
I present myself better on a day-to-day basis on Zoom calls seen by four people that work within the company that I work with, and speak more concisely and clearly and answer questions more directly and make more sense every day. And it's not media availability, and it's not about the fucking basketball team that I coach and am paid an exorbitant amount of money to coach. So on to the next quote.
Get to the scheduled loss one, yeah.
Yeah, so the next one is about the scheduled loss, Billy. And he said, and basically the gist of the question was, you want to win every game. How do you balance that versus taking a long-term view with sitting
simple
guys?
Question.
And he said, and in quote, Jerry Stackhouse said, every night you want to go out and win. If there is a scheduled loss, that might have been it. Not taking anything away from Alabama. It's not about them. It's about us. So what was it?
Scheduled loss.
Bama a scheduled loss, or was it about – was it about them, or was it about you? Because was it a scheduled loss, or was this a message that needed to be sent regardless of what opponent you were playing? So right there, someone should have said, Jerry, that doesn't make any sense. What you just said in two sentences contradicts itself, Jerry. So let's try again.
Quote scheduled loss sounds like it's coming from a fan. Honestly, like that's
you
a game
know what this
we,
sounds yes. like.
Sounds like the waves or cycles.
This, you want to know what it sounds like? It sounds like Derek Mason.
Yes.
He was like, we're going to go through ebbs and flows. We're going to go through highs and lows. And to the all the Vanderbilt fans who are listening, you are not dumb. Like, whenever you read these quotes, you're like, oh, Jerry Stackhouse has much more basketball knowledge than I do. Maybe he's right. I'm wrong. You are not dumb. Jerry Stackhouse is gaslighting you. You are being manipulated.
Yes.
It just point blank is what it is. And that has been his entire career with Vanderbilt fans. And I'm sure we'll get to the grudge quote and then I'll
next.
Let's get to Jesus, that one. I like that one.
I just, that one sent me off a cliff.
Yep. This is the next one. And all of this is in sequential order. All of these comments, they're all within like 8 minutes.
It was a long presser, by the way.
Yeah.
This was amazing how quickly he rattled off all these stupid quotes. But getting to basically why Tyron Lawrence and wasn't playing, why the lineups are being done how they are being done. End quote, Jerry Stackhouse said, guys get sensitive and don't want to shoot the basketball. Go 0-for-2. I can be the bigger asshole. Clearly he's talking about Tyron Lawrence as to why he didn't play. And then Jerry Stackhouse goes on to say, end quote, at the end of the day, this is a benevolent dictatorship. You're going to do it my way. You're going to do it this way. I really don't care who feels any different about it. I know what we're trying to build here. And then I know the benevolent dictator and all of that got the attention. But what set me off and made me know that I needed to write down a gigantic list of these quotes and watch the press conference over and over was then he continued to say, I know what we are trying to build here. He said, not trying to build something that's of no substance, where you do something that has substance.
He said substance.
He repeated himself, corrected himself to then continue to incorrectly say the word.
I didn't know you went this deep, Will.
We are truly. And then he said, the guy to do that. I'm the after mispronouncing the word substance three times in a row.
Substance.
He said he was the guy to build the program. So either Jerry Stackhouse is ready to get the fuck out of Nashville. Fire me now, please. And that's what these last two press conferences have been, especially today's presser. Or Jerry Stackhouse has been hiding behind an NBA basketball career and shot up the coaching ranks, and he's mentally handicapped. Because what he said in those quotes today are the words of a man that does not want the job he currently has. And it feels like he was trying to piss off every single Vanderbilt fan that still watches the dog shit that is put onto the hardwood by Jerry Stackhouse and this program. Right now, Jerry Stackhouse has led this basketball program to the same place that Derek Mason did, which is apathy and the subtle disrespect of low expectations. I've used that quote before and I'm going to continue using it. If you are defending Jerry Stackhouse in any way, you are disrespecting this program and these players and every single player that has played in this program before by saying what you watched on that court against Alabama was okay and was acceptable. It was a shameful performance and you should feel ashamed to be a part of a program that walks out there in an in-conference game with excitement built up around it and performs like that, and you're just okay with it. It's just one game, crumple it up, throw it over your shoulder. No. I'm usually of that mindset. That's not how a performance like that goes. That performance was a symptom of a much larger problem within this program, and it's time, Candace. It's time. Fire it.
Well, that is And we all love Vanderbilt football. Vanderbilt basketball is not Vanderbilt football to where Vanderbilt football has been years and years and years of disappointment with maybe like little glimpses of like contentment every now and again. Vanderbilt basketball has a real rich tradition. Like whenever you go into Memorial Gymnasium and you look up and you see the tournament appearances and you see all these championships and you see names like Perry Wallace and Will Perdue and Clyde Lee, you see, and guys, less than like a little over a decade ago, we were watching guys like John Jenkins, Jeff Taylor, Shane Foster was not that long ago. Jermaine Beal was not that long
ago. 11 years ago, they won an SEC championship with those guys. 11 years ago.
Against the greatest Kentucky team to ever be put on a court, arguably. Guys, this – there's no – I understand, and maybe this is just Stockholm syndrome. I understand that there might be a reason to be just content with Vanderbilt football's performance sometimes. There is no reason to be content with the product that you're seeing for Vanderbilt basketball. What did Vandy Lance's famous quote was, if the ball is round, we are sound. Vanderbilt has always had a good basketball program, yes, a respectable basketball program, to where people did not – and let's just – I hate people being like, oh, well, Vanderbilt basketball is tough to play. You don't want to play them. Shut up.
That yeah, there's the been dumbest, a lot – there's like, been a lot of fake – there's been a lot of fake stuff going around, dude, from color
analysts. You can shove it. I don't want to hear that ever again.
That's the most disrespectful.
He's a great X's and O's
opposing
guy.
Coach.
Yes.
An opposing coach can make, because that was said all the time about the worst football teams in the history of Vanderbilt football. They play.
That's
you don't
why
want
they
to play
do it. That's why they do it, because when Rick Barnes says that, he wants Stackhouse in the SEC as long as he can have him in there. So does Coach Calipari. They're going to say, you know, Stackhouse, great X's and O's guys. They play really hard for him. You know, they play hard for
him. Where is this
him.
Narrative they, coming from that Jerry Stackhouse is a great X's and O's coach? This is another one that I know, Trevor, you feel, and Billy, you feel. Every broadcast that comes on ESPN, SEC,
they don't
Network,
have anything else to say. That's why.
They make comments and opposing coaches
they gotta
talk
say
about
something.
His great – he runs the most basic offense. Trevor, he runs horns action up top. He runs pick and roll action. He runs America's play, and he runs slip screens to shooters in the corner. Nothing he does is anything that we didn't run at my high school.
Yeah,
I don't understand where this narrative is coming from.
Another thing, how long was he in college? Was he a 2-year college player? If one of y'all could look that up, Will, look that up. He wasn't a one and done, but. If he, you know, he's a one and done type of guy in college. You know, he was probably a 2 or 3 year guy, but he's an NBA guy. What was his career? 17 or 18 years in the NBA. I mean, he played till he was almost 40. So 2 years in college, right, Will? Okay.
Yep.
So 2 years in college.
Yeah, 93 or 95.
Under Dean Smith. Okay. Great coach. Probably learned a lot. His dream all along, guys, was to play in the NBA. Stackhouse is an NBA guy. Okay, he runs sets that suits big time star players, where you have, you know, that's why he had success in the G League. He had a guy like Fred VanVleet at point. I mean, he had a lot of talent, and yeah, they did win the title, but he ran good sets that suited star NBA players. But it's not like he built a culture with the, you know, whatever that G League team was. I mean, the hire to begin with, guys, this was all predictable. I mean, from the get-go, anybody saying convincing themselves Stackhouse can work at Vanderbilt is brainwashed. They're brainwashed.
Yeah,
so
I probably am.
I mean, I'll admit it too. It's not like I was drinking all the Kool-Aid like a, you know, like a Clark Lee hire. But I was a little excited. You know, I mean, after Bryce Drew 0-18, you had to be excited about something. So
it's hard not to be excited. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, guys, what I'm getting at is, he's an NBA guy. He has never built a culture. He probably doesn't like dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds. He called them. He said, that's another quote, Will. He said, they're a little sensitive. That's fine. That quote right there is maybe the worst. You called out your players, and he's done this so many times, guys. This is my biggest rant against Stackhouse. Has he ever taken blame for anything? Has he ever said, you know, guys, this was on me. I need to coach better. I need to lead these guys better. I need to be a better leader of this proud Vanderbilt basketball program. He has never said that. He's always, Tyron was 1 for 11. He publicly, personally shouts out these guys. And I'm like, what are you, who does that? That's ridiculous. Like, that's where it has gotten old. It's gotten really old. And there's a lot of things I'm not saying right now because I'm trying to be somewhat respectful. If this was us hanging out at a bar, having some beers, this would be a lot worse. But I'm trying to be somewhat respectful.
Yeah.
At the same time, guys, you're almost at a loss for words. That's where I am with a lot of this. Like, it's over. It's done.
Yeah.
Vandy fans have had enough.
I've got to get you hit on something earlier where you said, I can't believe you said this to the media. And so what he was doing and what Jerry Stackhouse was doing by sitting Tyron Lawrence and the quotes that he gave where he said, guys, not laughing and joking. You just lost 1 out of 4. Give a damn about what's going on here. That's another.
Well, you're laughing and joking in the presser, Stack.
So, Jerry,
you play golf after losses, Jerry.
Basketball is different than other sports. Okay. I'm going to tell you that the guys that play basketball, I was never one of the elite players, but I was on teams with very talented guys. Every player that plays basketball is kind of a, like, especially the incredibly talented ones, diva. Like, imagine how receivers are in football, and that's how every basketball player is, including me when I step on a basketball court. But so what happened with Tyron probably joking around or whatever, that probably did happen and probably did need to be addressed. And maybe it had gotten to the point where the disrespect had grown over the season and it was necessary to sit Tyron out for the game.
Not to the media, though.
Quote. Exactly. So I've seen this happen and seen wherever that eventually you reach a breaking point and you just have to say, I'm not going to play you until you learn the lesson of, you know, acting like a professional coming off of a loss. Whatever. If it did, if it didn't. But that you can talk away the quotes from this where he said you're scared to shoot the ball playing 20 minutes 0 for 2. That's insane to put that out publicly into the media. That is something that should never be mentioned out there, much less that shouldn't be mentioned in front
that's
of
that's in a one-on-one team. Sit down with the player.
Even in a like a film session, if you were like, why are you so scared to shoot the ball, two shots all that would be like, dude, why are you attacking the guy for maybe you can attack him for not diving for a loose ball or attack him saying he wasn't blocking out. But man, that these quotes are just crazy of publicly calling out guys that you just referenced are 18 to 22 years old.
That's where the culture is dead, guys. The players see this. By the way, the players see all of this, and they probably see a lot of it outside the locker room where, you know, maybe there's some talk going on, but they see these quotes, guys. And when you, it's, as a player, as a big-time player, say you're Tyron Lawrence, you see that quote, you're done with the guy. You don't want to play for that coach anymore.
Yeah, why would you want to play for him?
I mean, that's ridiculous. You have your coach publicly shaming you like that. And yeah, maybe what Tyron did in practice was wrong. But don't address that to the media. That keep that in-house.
Look, it's not even – the thing. Like, we can go, like, I don't even know if I have a problem, like, how I would respond if I was the player. It would probably motivate me to want to – if I did get playing time to want to go out and score, which is probably the idea – but it's just so far down the rabbit hole of bad decisions, right? So, like, we're so far past the point I could ever see myself being in as a head coach of a college basketball program. Like, just that being the reason that I have benched him in the first place is just crazy to me. Like, that in my head I've said, and then calling myself a benevolent dictator.
Yeah, what
like
was that?
That right there, this is a benevolent dictatorship. That is a real live quote. I thought it was fake. I saw people tweeting out that quote, and I was like, no way that's real. Like, this has to be fake news. And I had to watch it and see it for myself before I was willing to come on here and say it was a quote from Jerry Stackhouse. So,
well, and two, you want to talk about players being sensitive. yeah, Jerry, like, I'm sure you don't want, like, hypersensitive guys on your basketball team. But like we said, they're kids. But if you want to talk about sensitive, Jerry, and I'm sure I don't even know if we've gone addressed the grudge quote or if it's even come up yet. My brain is sort of scattered. Jerry, you are known for fighting people in the NBA. Boom. That is your whole shtick. Your whole shtick as a Vanderbilt coach has been blocking the fan base. You have slid in fans' personal Twitter DMs telling them to shove it. Oh, whenever we lost the streak against Tennessee, something that means the world to Vanderbilt fans, you said, yes, God, just rest in peace. That meant the world to Vanderbilt fans. You said, we really don't care. Guys, Jerry Stackhouse, like I said earlier, it has gaslit and manipulated the fan base. You are not crazy. Jerry Stackhouse is a sensitive coach. It just is what it is.
That I'm so glad, Trevor, that you were going there, because that's what another one I'd written down. The fact that he had the fucking audacity to call his 18 to 22 year old college students that are on his roster sensitive, when he is perhaps the most sensitive head basketball coach at the NCAA level that I have ever seen. I don't even have to tag
kids. Yeah.
You don't even have to tag Jerry Stackhouse to get blocked.
He searches his name
like a 13-year-old girl and blocks people that are even partially critical or accurately critical of his shortcomings. That's amazing to me that he doesn't have the self-awareness. My Twitter bio is painfully self-aware, because all the time I'm thinking probably overthinking how things are being perceived that I am saying and doing, and not wanting to call out people for things that, you know, maybe I am guilty of as well. But being sensitive, Jerry, look in the mirror, buddy. Like,
we need to get Stack to change his bio to that. Will, that needs to be his bio.
Yeah.
Painful, not painful, not self-aware whatsoever. Might be a good quote for Jerry. Great NBA career. You're a cooler guy than me and all of us on this podcast, Jerry, because I think a lot of this comes from the perspective of, I played in the NBA for 17 years. What have you done? And it's like, nothing. But you're a shitty college basketball coach, and I don't have to be respectful. This isn't my career. This isn't my job. I come on here and get to give my full unfiltered opinions. And Jerry Stackhouse, X's and O's wise on offense, is not even at the level of a regular high school basketball coach at the 3A Tennessee high school level. He runs NBA sets with the idea in his head that college teams are going to defend every player like they're a scoring threat, which is what NBA sets are predicated on, that every single person on the roster can at least hit a 10-foot jumper. And that's just not the case in college basketball. So teams just play off of guys that are not threats on offense, and nothing that Jerry Stackhouse does works. It has been that way for 4 years, and I'm sick of it.
We got any more, so got any more quotes,
I'm officially on the Jerry Stackhouse firing train, and so anything from here, let's ride.
Any more quotes?
Nope, that's it.
That's it. All right. That's it from Will.
There are more, but I don't know if we should keep getting riled.
By the way, we've gotten riled up. Bryce Smith I don't know if it's a thread, if you call it a thread or what, but Bryce Smith, sports editor from The Hustler, does a phenomenal job. So go to his Twitter if you guys want to look at some more quotes, be entertained. Well, go ahead. You got.
There is one more quote that I didn't pull up. Sorry, it was on the third page, guys. Sorry. But in quote, this is, I think it was Aria that asked it, but asked what would be a successful season, or something along those lines from his perspective. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean successful season? At the end of the day, we want to have a winning season. We played, you should probably look up these numbers, the toughest schedule of anybody you can think of. Probably the second toughest behind Bama in our league. Probably one of the seven toughest in the whole country.
No.
Well, that's not true. First off, KenPom 21st, team ranking 54th.
False.
But just listen to that quote. Like, I think that you get caught up and he's Jerry Stackhouse. He's the head coach for Vanderbilt's team. What do you mean successful season? We played the toughest schedule of anyone you can think of. Anybody you can think of, he says. Then he says, probably the second toughest in our league. So first he says, we played the toughest schedule of anybody. Then he says, oh, wait. No, we've played the second toughest in our 14-team conference. And then he says, we've probably played one of the seven toughest in the whole country. All within one sentence, he says three things that are all different and all not true, except for playing the second toughest schedule in the SEC. That is true.
Man, I don't even know what to say anymore, guys. 101-44. I don't even think we ever mentioned the score. 101-44. I think they were 3 from 30 from the 3-point line. Alabama hit 19 Ooh. Threes. Wrong team at the wrong time. That's it, guys.
Hey, what do you guys do whenever it's a scheduled loss?
That was another good one. Yeah, guy. Hey, let me say
it's
this.
It's gonna be a loss anyways. Who cares?
Let me say this to Vandy fans. It was a scheduled loss. Okay, it's okay if you lose a game that was scheduled for you to lose. That's totally fine. That's totally fine. So
when do when does Vanderbilt get their check for the pay for play game?
The scheduled loss. Yeah. That's a good question. That's a good question, actually.
That should help out with building the new facilities. So.
Oh man. Hey, let's to close out. I don't even know where we are in time. Trevor and I wanted to talk about our top three candidates to replace Jerry Stackhouse. And Will, I know you said you wanted more time. I will respect your decision there. Trevor, I mean, I think we agree, and well, I'll let you kind of chime in here in a second, but Trevor, I'm going to start with mine, and I'll go number one, Pat Kelsey from the College of Charleston. He has had the College of Charleston in the top 25 for most of the season. Are they in the top 25 right now, Trev? I'm not exactly sure if they are. I know they've been in the top 25 this season. For a few weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, something like that. So Pat Kelsey, he has ignited the city of Charleston, a small town, you know, medium-sized town in South Carolina, a smaller school that, you know, hasn't traditionally been good at basketball. They don't have the biggest arena, but he has lit a fire into that program that I think he can do the same thing at Vanderbilt. So Pat Kelsey.
They are not, but they have been receiving votes. They received 68 right. votes in the last poll.
Boom. So they've been in the top 25. The thing about Pat Kelsey, guys, is he incorporates the city of Charleston within that university. It's the College of Charleston. And Vanderbilt, it's, I don't know, you could argue that there's a lot of SEC fans in Nashville. I don't know that Nashville necessarily takes ownership of Vanderbilt, but that's where we need to get to. We need to get to that point to where Nashville takes pride in Vanderbilt athletics, the two major sports at Vanderbilt. At this point, they don't. I think football is getting there. Football is ahead of basketball right now, by the way. There's no way in hell. I mean, yeah, the Alabama game, that was a decent crowd, but you saw some up in the Raptors. Nobody was up there. I mean, you know, you haven't seen a packed house in Memorial since I don't even know when. So, number one, guys, I think Pat Kelsey is a great option because he incorporates the city with his program. He's walking around the city saying, basically telling fans to come to the game. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. Go look at his Twitter account if you guys haven't seen it. He puts up great videos just walking around the city saying, hey, come to our game tonight against, I don't even know who they play, Hofstra. I don't even know. But he gets fans to go to those games. I don't even know what conference they're in. But that's what he's done there. So, Trev, I'll go with that. Pat Kelsey is my number one option. We'll get to yours, Will. Trevor, who's your number one guy, Trev?
I mean, if you read my Twitter, you know. And this is the sort of obvious one. I like Pat Kelsey a lot. Guys, Candace Story Lee, just hop in whatever car you drive in and literally just get on Blakemore Ave and just drive 5 minutes until it turns into Wedgwood Ave and go to Belmont and get Casey Alexander.
Boom.
It's going to take
boom.
Nothing. He will come. If you offer him a contract, he will come. Casey Alexander is a really, really, really good basketball coach.
He knows the
city. He knows the city. So you already have a guy who, when it comes to recruiting, is familiar with Tennessee basketball talent. So you've already got that. You have a guy that can turn programs around. Obviously, it's not like a major college basketball program, but he went into a Lipscomb program that, for all intents and purposes, freaking sucked. He had Lipscomb humming. He coached at Lipscomb from 2013 to 2019. His record at Lipscomb, starting out, was 15-15, then 14-17, then a little dip in 12-21, not good. But then 20-13, 23-10, 29-8 at Lipscomb.
Won the conference.
He goes over to Belmont to a legendary Rick Bird, just retired, has the opportunity to take the reins there. And at Belmont, he went 26-7, 26-4, 25-8, and they're 14-6 right now. They average 74 points a game. And from the three-point line, I think they shoot close to like 40%.
They can shoot it.
I could be getting it, but they shoot. They got shooters. So that just – I have other options, but that just seems like – sorry, my cat's getting in the frame. That just seems – Phoebe, stop. That just seems like the most like obvious coaching candidate.
Yeah.
He's my number one.
Well, that's why you said I didn't have any. You were at that Belmont Drake game.
Yes. You said I didn't have any. I was like, no, I just
okay,
have one.
Okay, yeah, I didn't because, mean that.
because it's just that. I just have one. Because there's one guy, like you said, Trevor, it's so obvious. It's Casey Alexander.
He's five minutes from Memorial.
So my dad went to Belmont, so I grew up going to Belmont games. Saw a lot of Rick Bird. Casey Alexander, he played at Belmont from 92 to 95, and he was an assistant under Rick Bird for 16 years before he went over to Stetson.
Not a bad guy to learn from.
Then came back to Lipscomb, who was an historically proud program at the mid-major level that had dipped a little bit in recent years, and brought them back up to the point that they were the NIT runner-up in 18-19. Then goes over to Belmont. I mean, legendary shoes to fill. Literally unfillable shoes in Rick Bird, who he coached under for 16 years. And he just comes out there, and the machine just keeps on humming at Belmont. And so you said, of course, they're 14-6 this year. So that record may seem like a dip a little bit, but it's not, I promise. This team changed conferences from the OVC over to the MVC. So previously, Belmont basketball under Rick Bird was in the Atlantic Sun, which is kind of a lower tier mid-major conference. They then went over to the Ohio Valley Conference, the OVC, which was a step up alongside Murray State. And then Murray State and Belmont both moved in to the Missouri Valley Conference, which was a big step up in competition. And currently, I think they are only one game back out of first, tied for second in that conference. So it's a much more competitive conference, much more teams within that conference getting at large bids. So you're just, if they go 26-4 in the Missouri Valley Conference, they're going to be ranked in the top 20. Like it's not the same as going 26-4 in the OVC. So I had to add that caveat in. If you haven't watched Belmont play under Casey Alexander, it's almost exactly like when you used to watch them play under Rick Bird, free flowing, running offense through the post, kicking out for open threes, fun.
It's the opposite of Stackhouse basketball.
Yes,
that's what it is.
Exactly.
He's a proven winner, local to Tennessee, born in Chattanooga, played at Belmont.
I think we've got our answer, guys. Casey Alexander. Now, there's a lot of work to do. Obviously, Pat Kelsey would be a phenomenal option. I don't know how realistic Pat Kelsey is. I've heard he's got a couple 4-stars coming into Charleston. I think he loves it there. I think he loves it at Charleston. And there's going to be a lot of other D1 schools after him. And I don't know that Vanderbilt is very high in his list of schools. That's another thing we need to remember, guys. Vanderbilt basketball is at a low point right now. After this season, if Jerry Stackhouse gets fired, it'll be a good thing, because if Stackhouse doesn't get fired, he's not going to have any players left next year. But assuming he does get fired, when, not if, when he gets fired after this season, Vanderbilt may keep a few guys depending on the coach they bring in. Say they bring in Casey Alexander, I think you'd be surprised at the amount of guys that stay in that program after hearing Casey Alexander speak and talk about his plan for the future. I'm acting like he's already here. But I think that's what we need to keep in mind, guys. Vanderbilt basketball is not in a good place right now. Not in a good place. It's going to get a lot worse, surprisingly. Can it get worse than that Alabama game? Yeah, it can. You've got Tennessee coming into Memorial. That's going to be ugly. You've got to
We might only score 30 points against Tennessee.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You've got to play Kentucky at Rupp. So good luck with that. So there's some challenging games. You got to play. I think you've got to play Missouri again. I could be wrong there, but you've got to play some good teams. The SEC isn't. It's not a great conference, right? At least this year, but it's still got some good teams. So I just want everybody to remember that, guys. That Vanderbilt is not in a great spot. They're not going to be able to, you know, go get the Pat Kelsey. Maybe, you know, they're going to have to offer a lot of money. This is a huge decision, guys. Dearmeyer and Lee have their hands full right now. And I don't envy them right now. I really don't. So, but I think you need to look at the Clark Lee model. Well, you said it, and so did you, Trev, a Nashville guy. He's been in Nashville, what, the last 25 years, 30 years? Casey Alexander? I mean, this is where he's been. And so he's not a guy that went to Vanderbilt, but he's been in Nashville. And so you guys have almost convinced me that Casey Alexander is the next guy. So another guy, though, I'll throw out this, kind of a wild card, Shaka Smart. Shaka Smart is at Marquette right now.
Oh, I would love that hire.
That's kind of an outside-the-box hire. Maybe he wants a new challenge in the SEC, maybe. But I think Shaka Smart, what he's done at Marquette has been phenomenal. They've got a good team this year. He was at Wichita or VCU, right? So he's a proven head coach. I think I said it beginning of the season, guys. You need to get a proven winner at the D1 level. That's going to be tough to find. I mean, that's going to be very, very tough to find. So I just want everybody to remember where Vanderbilt basketball is right now and how much worse it's going to get, because it's going to get worse. This is only the tip of the iceberg. I hate saying that. And I hope it gets better. I really hope it gets better, but by the end of this season, Vanderbilt is not going to be in good shape. But at the same time, I think Casey Alexander is a guy that can fix that. I really do. So,
yeah.
Will, I'm with you. I'm with you on Casey. I know you've seen that team play. You've been in that gym before and kind of the coaching, you know, that he has been able to display. So Pat Kelsey, Casey Alexander, Shaka Smart, any other names, guys? I'm going to go through some names that we put out a tweet last night about the fact that we'll be recording. So I'm going to go through some of those names. Trevor, any other names?
So my third was going to be Pat Kelsey. I have one more that I haven't seen anybody mention him. And I think this would be a little bit of an outside the box. Not really. I think this guy's a really good coach. I've seen nobody mention him. I would be ecstatic if Vanderbilt hired him. The head coach of the UC Santa Barbara Gauchos, Joe Pasternak. Right now,
never heard of him.
2020, last year, whenever he was coaching for UC Santa Barbara, Big West Coach of the Year 2021, that wasn't last year, overall head coaching record of 171 and 107, so 0.65 win percentage. His coaching career, he was assistant at Cal from 2001 to 2007, yada, yada, yada. This is where it gets interesting. He was an assistant coach for Arizona from 2011 to 2013.
Under Sean Miller.
He was Arizona's assistant head coach from 2013 to 2017. Arizona is a program that knows how to win basketball games. Arizona is a really good basketball program. They've done it for a while now. 2017 to now, he got hired at UC Santa Barbara. He's got those boys humming. They have a good offense. They play a good defense. Right now, they're 16-3 in the Big West. And in his second – or what was it? No, his third – his first season at UC Santa Barbara, 23-9. Second season, 22-18. 2019 to 2020, 21-10. 2020 to 2000 – or 2021, 22-5.
Mm.
this guy knows how to win. This guy knows how to win ball games. They've made it to the tournament technically twice. The first year they made it, it was canceled. It was the COVID.
And they've been
season after that. They've won their conference championship. I think this guy would be a great hire. Has some head coaching experience them in major level, but that Arizona, that sort of seeing and knowing what winning basketball looks like and how it functions, that really interests me.
Well, any other names? Is that it? Casey Alexander.
I've got my one name. Casey Alexander. That's all I have right now. Once Jerry's actually
Casey's
fired,
my number one.
Now I was going to dig in and do like more research into what I would put as like at least number two or maybe even number three. Then I watched that press conference, and either he is trying to get fired, and we will definitely have plenty of time to discuss the coaching market, or he is absolutely not going to be fired. So this could just be a gigantic waste of time as well, because that man spoke as if he had complete immunity from being fired.
Which is very sad. If he does, if he has complete immunity, that's a joke. That's a complete joke.
That is.
Dearmeyer. Yep. Dearmeyer is the one that's going to have to make this decision, guys. By the way, Candace Lee is not going to step up and fire him. Daniel Dearmeyer is going to have to make the decision. I'm convinced of that. Maybe I'm wrong. But okay. I think Dearmeyer is going to have to be the guy to step up and make the decision. By the way, he hates losing, I've heard. So he's not going to stand for any of this. He's really not. So another guy.
I've seen him at a couple basketball games at Memorial. So he was at the loss to Alabama, the first one. For sure, because he was walking up and down the section that I was in. So
Dave Portnoy was also there.
I missed him, but I saw Dearmeyer. So
yeah, missed him
see
too.
Where my priorities are at.
A few more names, guys, and then we'll wrap it up. Wes Miller at Cincinnati. He's a young guy. He's done a really good job there. He's got them playing really well right now. We had a picture of Bryce Drew. Somebody sent a picture of Bryce Drew.
I saw that.
Oh, man. That's great. That's phenomenal.
I will say, in a response to the Twitter guy, William Theodore said Dusty May from FAU.
Yes, that's
those
another
boys
one.
I just got the notification they lost tonight, but they're playing really good basketball.
They're like
right 21. Now. That's the name that interests me.
They're in the top 25. They're like 21-3 right now, and
they technically had their fourth loss like 2 seconds ago.
And he's coached in the SEC. He was an assistant at Florida.
Yeah,
so he's got that sort of SEC experience. He knows what it takes. What's his name? Dusty May. That all-time name.
Sounds like a football guy. That's a football name.
That sounds like a baseball manager to me. I don't know why.
Well, Dusty Baker.
Dusty May. So like 1958 Cincinnati Reds manager. Like that's Dusty May.
That name just makes me think of this dude would have these boys run and suicides till they puked. And he would somehow light a fire on the fat V and make Memorial Gym even hotter in the summer. And he's like, boys, just get to running.
That's a coach that tells you water makes you weak. That's a coach right there. That's an old school guy.
The best comment we got was from Miller McKee, a guy that's been pretty active with us. He said, Pat Kelsey, Coach K, Jesus Christ, Drew Maddox, and Jay Wright. Oh, I thought that was great.
I would take four of the five.
Is Jesus Christ included in that?
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, would be included in that.
There we go.
I think we're too far. I think this podcast in particular is too far gone for him to
okay.
save us now. But
another name is King Rice.
He gets
I don't
us.
Even know who that is. That's a joke. I'm trying to get to some of these people's comments here. A lot of Drew Maddox, which I think is surprising. Chris Mack. Where is Chris Mack right now? He got fired from Louisville, if I'm not mistaken. So he may have a show cause on him. We had a lot of Rick Pitino. I don't think Vanderbilt fans would like Rick Pitino. He's at Iona right now, but he's
also
in trouble.
Notorious dirtbag.
Yeah,
so
he's also in trouble with
Jerry
the NCAA.
Going from Jerry Stackhouse to Rick Pitino, till Slick Rick would be
quite
the degeneracy.
Yeah, William Theodore, he said, Dusty May from FAU, former Gator assistant to Mike White, so familiar with the SEC. He beat Florida at Florida this year at FAU. Top-notch defensive coach. And we know we like a defensive team. Stackhouse said he has a defensive team. We might need a real defensive team. So Guys, that was it from the comments section. Drew Maddux, I'm sorry to say, is most likely not an option. Although he did tweet.
Yeah.
He said WTF am I watching? I thought that was, he played at Vanderbilt and is a proud alum.
I don't know what
you're
watching, Drew.
Yeah, I don't even know what
Bring
I was
watching. Bring back Kevin Stallings.
Interesting. Bring back Kevin Stallings.
62.
What do you think, Trev?
I am forever grateful to Kevin Stallings. I love him. I do think it was time for him to go, though. I think it was time.
Everybody has their run. Everybody has their time. And he had a good run.
He has a lot of memories, too. Yeah. For Vandy fans, so that's a good thing. But guys, this bottom line, this is still a proud program that has a proud tradition in basketball. Like you said, Trevor, I loved when you said this. It's a proud, historical, tradition-rich program. I mean, look at the gym. Look at Will's background. Look at my background. This is a proud program that their fans want to pack Memorial Gym and bring back the magic. Magic, we haven't seen a whole lot of magic this year. They're going to need some. Stackhouse is going to need some magic down the stretch of this season. So guys, any last words here? I know we gave our options, Pat Kelsey, Casey Alexander, Shaka Smart. So that might be the top three for a lot of people. Any last words?
I'm just like, this isn't like a serious thing, but I'm just like giggling thinking about now that we talked about Jerry Stackhouse's comments and bringing up Kevin Stallings and how Jerry Stackhouse, his benevolent dictator, would work if he was a better coach.
That's an all-time quote.
Kevin Stallings told Matthew Fisher Davis he was going to kill him. We were all like, let's coach Stallings.
No, Wade Baldwin. That was Wade Baldwin.
Wade Baldwin, yes, grabbed that. It was at Thompson Bowling Arena, wasn't it, the Tennessee game? Grabbed him by the neck, was like, I'm going to effing kill you. And we're like, let's coach Stallings. I don't
– Look, but there's also the last –
that. That hits on it the last – supposed to coach Stack.
Yeah.
The last words I have
a dichotomy, yeah.
Are I want this on record while we are not that far removed from college, all of us here. I'm 25 years old. I was in college 3 years ago. I think that, and I've seen players tweet this. I think Matthew Fisher Davis tweeted this out like last season. I think players would prefer that over the other side, over the top Bryce Drew style coaching of encouragement. But the difference is, I don't think that Kevin Stallings portrayed this level of detail and individual player shaming out to the media. Like, treat them like men with respect, and you are their coach. They're young men that need to be developed. They're not kids, but they're also not NBA basketball players. So there's kind of some nuance in there, and I'm not saying grab players by their neck and choke them. But there's a fine line kind of in between, and I think Jerry Stackhouse has done a really, really bad job of walking the fine line. So that's my final words.
You said respect, Will. I don't think respect is in his vocabulary, with all due respect. I don't think respect is in that man's vocabulary. He really said scheduled loss. He called that a scheduled loss. He said he was a benevolent dictator. So, Vandy fans, sit
with
that.
Not a grudge guy either.
Not a grudge guy, though. It's not a grudge guy.
No, non-grudge guy.
Big known non-grudge guy, Jerry Stackhouse.
He called his players sensitive, but he's not sensitive. He's not sensitive. So, wow, what an episode, guys. We're going to wrap it up. I think that might be 2 hours. I think Vandy fans are going to love this, by the way. Thank you to Pickett, new sponsor. Thank you to Primus Bank, Alaco Finewood Floors. Everybody a part of this episode. This one's going to go down in the history books.
Great first episode for Pickett to be a part of.
great first episode. For Trevor Hoolan and Will Byram, I'm Billy Derrick. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Door Report, powered by Alaco Finewood Floors.